Christ is risen. Rejoice, heavenly powers, sing, choirs of angels, exult all creation around God's throne. Jesus Christ, our King, is risen. Sound the trumpet of salvation.
Thank you. turn from fear and darkness. Hope is on the move. Do not be afraid. Jesus has conquered death. Alleluia. Let us now turn to the one who offers us forgiveness and grace as we pray together our Easter Collect. God of hope, on this day when we have gathered together to celebrate the joy of Easter, we acknowledge the depth of our stubbornness and fear. Forgive us for the ways we have obstructed the power of love in the face of darkness and despair. Forgive us for the times we have failed to tell the good news in the face of diminishing hope. Free us of our sin and shame, that we might proclaim with boldness that Christ is risen, that death has been defeated, and that we have new life through Christ. Friends, hear the good news. There is more mercy in Christ than sin in us. The healing grace of God is available to all. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. Would you join me now in our Easter prayer for illumination? Resurrecting God, open our hearts to your holy word, so that we may truly understand, and understanding that we may believe, and believing that we may follow Jesus Christ in all faithfulness and obedience, seeking your honor and glory in all that we do. Amen.
When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so they might go and anoint him. And very early on the morning of the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Great is the mystery of the gospel.
Thanks be to God.
I see and feel the power of heavenly throngs this morning as we gather. What a glorious thing it is to be together, to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Will you pray with me? Most gracious and holy God, in whom resides the power of resurrection, the power to bring life out of death, the power of perfect love that conquers all hate, the power of light that extinguishes all darkness. We gather in your presence today, and as we open our ears and hearts to hear the word proclaimed, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. At this point in my life, I like stories that have a happy ending. If I'm going to take the time to read a novel, or if I'm going to pay $12 to go see a movie, by golly, I want it to end well. And I want good closure. I've had a lot of people suggest to me recently that I should watch that show Stranger Things. It's a big hit on Netflix. It's about to start its third season, but I can't do it. I've had too many people say, well, you can't really watch just one episode. You have to binge watch it because it's so suspenseful and every episode ends with a cliffhanger. And maybe I have enough cliffhangers in my life at this point, enough unresolved questions that I just don't want to do that to myself in my free time. And if you're like me and you like stories that have a happy ending and you like good, solid conclusions, then perhaps the Gospel of Mark is one we shouldn't be reading on Easter Sunday. Did you hear how the story ended? Now, I know if you go home and open your Bibles, or if you have your Bibles with you and you open them, you might say, well, wait, there's more to the story here. There are more verses printed in my Bible. And that is true. But most scholars think that those extra verses were added later. You see, we don't have any original copies of the Gospels. What we have are copies of copies of copies. But the oldest manuscripts we have of Mark's Gospel stop at verse 8. So most scholars believe that what we heard was the original ending of Mark's Gospel. And it's a cliffhanger. It really leaves us hanging. And the women said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. And cut. In the Greek, it's even more awkward. It ends in a conjunction. If we were literally to take word by word, it says, and the women said nothing to anyone. They were afraid for... I mean, back in the first century and early days of the church, people would have heard the gospel spoken out loud. And can you imagine how they felt when the speaker said, and they said nothing to anyone. They were afraid for... Are you kidding me? Is there a part two? I mean, if we were to find a way to live this out in our worship service, to demonstrate how it feels, I would have asked the choir in their final hallelujah chorus to sing, Hallelujah. It's an unresolved chord. Why does Mark do this to us? What was he thinking? I mean, you have to wonder if it was a mistake. Did he run out of ink? Did he lose the last page? Did something happen? No, I don't think this was an accident. I think Mark very intentionally ended his gospel this way. And even though it may be frustrating and it may feel like a cliffhanger, I think really it is a gift to us. It is a gift that we have four gospels. And they tell the story of Jesus in unique ways. And they have different things that they want to show us about who Jesus was and is. And I think in this ending of Mark's gospel, he's trying to tell us something. So what is the gift in this kind of an ending to Jesus' story? Well, for one thing, it shows us that nobody in Mark's gospel is a hero. One of the fun things about Easter morning sometimes is I get to talk about how the women got it, you know? Peter denied Jesus, Judas betrayed Jesus, the other 10 fled into the night and deserted Jesus, but the women stayed close to the cross. And the women went to the tomb on Sunday morning, and they were the first ones to hear the news, and they were the first ones to preach the good news that Christ was risen. But not in Mark's gospel. Not even the women at the tomb got it right. I mean, it's so ironic. In Mark's gospel especially, throughout Jesus' ministry, he says, "Don't tell anybody who I am." He heals a man with leprosy and says, "Don't tell anyone." And of course, right away, the man goes and tells everyone. He raises a little girl from the dead and he says, "Now don't tell anyone." He heals a man who is deaf and he says to the crowd, "Don't tell anyone." And they tell everybody. And Mark even says, the more Jesus said, "Don't tell," the more they told. And so now here we are on Easter morning, and finally the messenger of God says, "Go and tell." And they don't tell anybody. Nobody gets it in Mark's gospel. And I don't know about you, but that's very reassuring to me. I think many of us come here on Easter morning and we know the story, but we're just not sure we get it. We're not quite sure we can believe it. When those women went to the tomb that day, they knew what to expect. They were going to anoint the dead body of Jesus because death is final. They knew that. That's how it always worked. And we come to worship on Easter Sunday morning, and we know the power of death. We know how final it feels to us. And it's just really hard to believe that anything else could be possible. But in spite of the women's fear and silence, in spite of Peter's denial and Judas's betrayal and the desertion of all the other followers of Jesus, the resurrection happened anyway. The power of life overcame death. God did God's work, whether we were ready or not, whether we could believe it or not. The power of the resurrection doesn't depend on you and me. When the women arrived at the tomb, the risen Christ was already on the move. The messenger said, "He is not here. He's risen, and he's already in Galilee waiting for you. He's already back, moving and at work, where it all started in your daily lives. Go and you'll see him." And that same message is for us. Whether or not we're able or ready to take all of this in yet, we can go back out into the world with our eyes open, and the risen Christ is on the move. We can see those places where peace and justice prevail, where love conquers hate, where people who were enemies find reconciliation and forgiveness, where relationships in our own lives are restored, where the poor are lifted up and treated with dignity. We can go and see. It's not our job to raise Jesus from the dead. It is our job to go and see, and then to go and tell. That's the other thing I think this awkward cliffhanger of an ending does for us in Mark's gospel. It reminds us that the story is not finished. The women said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. So what's next? Are we afraid? Are we going to tell? Do we continue the story? We know that the women eventually told because we have their story. We know that Peter told. We know that the other disciples told. And what's amazing to me is how they must have told their story. They told first about their failures, because we know the story about the women They must have said, you know, we went to the tomb and we didn't believe it and we were afraid and we didn't tell anybody for a while. Peter, in telling his story, must have said, you know, on the night that Jesus was arrested, I denied I even knew him. I had three chances and I denied him three times. And the other disciples must have said, you know, we ran off into the night scared out of our wits. And yet he came to us. He showed himself to us. He offered us his love and his peace. And we want to tell you about it. Our lives have been restored to us. Let us tell you about it. And that's how you and I continue the story. You know, my life was pretty broken. But the risen Christ came into my life and poured divine love into me. And now I know how beloved and forgiven I am. And I want you to know that too. You know, my family was a mess. But we started praying together and worshiping together, and we've been restored. You know, this neighborhood was plagued with poverty and violence, but this little group of the people of God came in and began caring for others and doing the work of God, and now look at us. There is story after story after story that we are called to tell, sometimes with words, but always with our actions. See, that's the beauty of this ending of Mark's gospel. It's not an ending at all. It's a beginning. And you and I are part of it. Thanks be to God. I invite you now to stand as you are able, and let us join our voices with believers down through the centuries and all who are gathered on this Easter Sunday today to proclaim the good news together in our affirmation of faith. This is the good news which we have received, in which we stand, and by which we are saved. Christ died for our sins, was buried, was raised on the third day, and appeared first to the women, then to Peter and the 12, and then to many faithful witnesses. We believe Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one of God, the firstborn of all creation, the firstborn from the dead, in whom all things hold together, in whom the fullness of God was pleased to dwell by the power of the Spirit. Christ is the head of the body, the church, and by the blood of the cross reconciles all things to God. Amen.
As we come to a time of prayer, we lift up the joys and concerns of our congregation as an offering to our loving God. If you have prayer requests that you would like to share, then please fill out one of the gray cards located in the pew racks in front of you. And on those cards, you may indicate whether your prayer concerns should be shared or whether they should remain confidential. And you can place the cards in the offering plates as they are passed down the pew in a few moments. Today we offer our sympathy to Alice Sanford and her family, who are mourning the death of her mother-in-law, Alice Ruth Sanford, who died on March 15th. Alice Ruth Sanford was the widow of Reverend George Sanford, who was a retired Tennessee Conference United Methodist minister, and service plans have not been made as of yet. Also, Margaret Peggy Hutton died on Thursday, March 22nd, and services will be held in the sanctuary on Friday, April 6th at 2 o'clock p.m. Visitation will precede the service in Reed Hall beginning at 12 o'clock noon. Among her survivors are her daughter, Margaret Taylor, and grandsons, Leland and Vernon Taylor. And finally, Thomas Westmoreland Cook Jr. died Tuesday, March 27th. Services are planned for April 3rd at 2 o'clock p.m. in the sanctuary. Visitation will precede the service beginning at 12:30 p.m. in Reed Hall. Among his survivors are his daughter, Kathy Crum, and grandchildren, Caroline, Connor, and Thomas Crum. Now, let us turn to our holy and living God and offer up both our spoken and silent prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Holy Lord of everlasting life, it was only just this past week that we entered into the fullest depths of sorrow. As we moved through the Holy Week, we remembered shouts of praise and hosanna that quickly gave way to shouts of anger and hatred. The dark shroud of death seemingly covered everything around us. And as the Holy Week marched inexorably forward toward the shadow of the cross, death seemed to have the upper hand. And yet today, we come to proclaim the glorious news that was first received by the women who discovered your empty tomb. He is not here, he is risen. You are risen indeed. Hallelujah. Help us know and trust that you indeed are with us, Lord. Grant that we might be a people whose lives are shaped by the wondrous, powerful, and mysterious truth that death has lost its power. We give thanks this day that evil has met its match in your goodness and faithfulness. Pour your spirit of love and mercy out on all of your children. Savior of the world, we pray today for those places and peoples who are hurting. Wherever devastation and abuse of your glorious creation occurs, may your healing and intervening presence be known. Give us wisdom to care for the precious earth on which we live. Teach us how to love our neighbors with patience and grace, and help us forgive and embrace our enemies. When violence and fear arise, empower us to walk in peace and faith. Where oppression and hatred are the marks of existence, empower us to rise up for justice and righteousness. God of all goodness, pour your spirit of love and mercy on all of us gathered here as we pray for our community, our church, and one another. May all those who hurt today sense your healing presence. We pray for those who are sick or troubled in body, mind, or spirit. And we ask that the power of life and resurrection that we celebrate here today would reanimate their bodies, quicken their minds, and restore their spirits. Holy Spirit that moves and works in each of our lives, we pray even for ourselves, that in all things we would seek your will, that in all struggles we would lean on your grace, and that at all times we would live as resurrection people who trust in the everlasting power of your divine love. We lift up these petitions and also the unspoken prayers in our hearts and minds as we enter a time of silent prayer. Victorious and glorious Lord and Christ, whose light and life reigns over all things, hear these our prayers and petitions as we raise our Easter voices together and pray the prayer you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
As resurrected people, let us offer our gifts back to the one through whom we have new life. May we give our tithes and offerings this morning with joy and thanksgiving.
Now, my brothers and sisters, go and tell. Tell with your lives. Tell with your words. Continue the story of Christ's power, love, and resurrection. Take his light, life, and love out into this world, and go in his peace. Amen.